Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Oh, thank you that you are ministering, that you are speaking so clearly this morning. We just commit the rest of the service to you and ask, Holy Spirit, come and do what you want to do. We open our hearts, not to me, not to Jolene, but to your word, Father, what you want to speak to us, Father. So we worship you and we welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 1. We all know this story. I felt quite clearly last week, Sunday evening in the worship service, I felt so strongly God saying, I want you to speak on Hannah again. I have spoken on Hannah before. But I felt quite clearly, and then I thought, oh yeah, that makes sense. It's an encouragement, an uplifting sermon, you know, dreams coming to fruition and God's going to give you the desires of your heart. And then halfway through the week, I felt God saying, no, that's not what I want you to speak on. I actually want you to speak on opposition. When we face difficulty, and praise God, I changed direction. Otherwise, I would have looked a little bit silly and out of sync with what God has been saying via Venora, and Marlene's word was just amazing encouragement. But I felt God saying that for some of us, we are going through difficult times, challenging times, times where it's, you're facing opposition. It can be a physical opposition. You're sick and you're struggling and just not getting breakthrough with the sickness. Some of us are facing financial opposition. It's just when you think you're getting on your feet, another thing breaks, another thing happens. Some of us are facing relational opposition. Felt for some of you, you're struggling with your marriage and you're like, just when I think we're getting to know each other or we got each other, there's another misunderstanding and another misunderstanding. And I felt even for some of us, it's even dreams and desires that have been delayed. Some of us are waiting still for our husband or wife or whatever it is. And the opposition and the challenge to keep on going is challenging. For some of us, it's stuff like we're just not sleeping, whether it's a baby or we're struggling to sleep. There's opposition in our lives. And I felt God saying, go and look at Hannah, at what happened there. So we're going to start and we're going to kind of work our way through. I'm not going to read and then we're going to talk. So we're going to work our way through. If you have your Bible, amazing to open a physical Bible. If not, it is up there. So we're going to start with chapter 1, verse 4. And we pick up the story where, for those who don't know, Hannah is married to a guy called Elkanah, I think is his name. Elkanah, in those days, they had more than one wife. Bless them. How they managed, nobody knows, but they did. So in those days, they had more than one wife. In this instance, it was Hannah and a lady called Peninnah. We see here. Now what happens is, same story as Rachel and Leah, unfortunately Hannah couldn't have any kids. And we're going to read now, it says the Lord closed her womb. So this is the setting, Peninnah, very fertile, do you call it fertile, fruitful, whatever you call it, many kids. But Hannah unfortunately doesn't have kids. Now to put yourself in Hannah's shoes, in those days, it was a big deal. Being a woman was dependent on, can I produce kids for my husband, and especially a boy, a son. It wasn't like today where us ladies have many options of pursuing other dreams. For many of these women, not all of them, but for many of them, having kids was their destiny, their calling. That was what they were born for and trained for and raised for. So not having a child is a big deal. And especially Hannah desiring to have a child. It was very difficult. So we pick up the story in verse 4, and it says there, and whenever, So they would go every year up to the temple, and they would go and bring their offering to the Lord there. And we see there, and it says verse 4, and whenever the time came for Elkanah, that's the husband, to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. Amazing. Makes it clear. Peninnah had many sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable. If provoking cannot make you miserable, but okay, the Bible is clear. The provoking made her extremely miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. And we see there, the first thing I want us to see is Hannah had opposition. Hannah had a difficult time. She was not happy. There was some stuff happening. We see here not that she was out of line. She wasn't in a difficult season because she sinned. We often get that. Yes, you know, disaster is coming because you sinned. And I'm not saying sin is acceptable. It's not. If you, my kids, for those visiting, I've got a 11, 9, and a 7-year-old. And we often explain to them, discipline and rules are like an umbrella, okay? It's raining outside. If you're under the umbrella, you are dry. The rules are the umbrella. The stuff God is saying, it's for our own goodness to keep us dry. When we step out from the under the umbrella and we do something intentional, sin in an area we know we shouldn't be, then that's sin. It's not that God is causing us to get wet. It is raining. You're going to get wet because you stepped out from under the umbrella. So in our house, if you step out from under the umbrella, you are going to have some discipline. Not because I want to, but because you stepped out, if that makes sense. In the same way, there are times when what we do opens the door, and we've spoken a whole lot about open doors in the past, especially at the end of last year. But in this case, we see Hannah, she didn't actually, the Bible doesn't mention that there was any sin or anything wrong on her side of the equation. In fact, it says there, the Lord had closed the womb. That's difficult. That's harsh. The good Father that we sang about this morning, that we know, he closed her womb. Sometimes our opposition is not the enemy. Sometimes it's God that takes us into a difficult season. And we see here that Hannah had a rival. The rival lived with her in her house. Okay, vrouwens kom praat. I can just imagine what's going on there. Because I can just imagine also the attention. We both want the attention of one husband. I mean, I'm trying to compete and I'm the only one. Sometimes I wonder, who am I competing against? I can never return. But we are designed to want the attention of our husbands, isn't it, ladies? I want him to see me. I want him to adore me. I want him to ask me, how was your day? Now, can you imagine having this rivalry going on and then living with another lady who constantly reminds you of what you don't have and can't have? And then the other thing we see here at the end, at verse 7, it says, year by year. It wasn't a quick season. We read Job, and there are commentaries that says it was a couple of months, 3 months, 5 months. It wasn't years. And we're like, praise God, look, Job had a rough deal. But Hannah, it was year by year. For some of us, we feel we're struggling and we're being opposed, and you've got a rival, and it's just carrying on, and that promise is just being delayed, and it's a year by year by year thing. And I feel that this morning God is saying he wants to give us his perspective on the situation. And we definitely, I'm all for praying for breakthrough, and we do that, and we trust God to break the cycle. But sometimes he's saying it's not time yet. It's not time yet to step out of this season. But what I do want you to do is I want to give you my perspective on the situation. So we're going to carry on to verse 8 then. It says there, then Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You see, this husband got to a place where he couldn't understand what she was struggling about. He didn't get it. Because very often, when we get a word, there's, not very often, always, when the Lord gives you a word, there's grace. It comes with a word. But if I receive the word, there's the word is for me, I receive the grace. Richard doesn't necessarily receive the grace. Does that make sense? So sometimes, even those closest to you won't understand, and won't understand if it's a year by year by year. For some of us, we're holding on to promises because God said, and I feel this morning God is saying, for some of you, you've actually gotten to a place where like, God, so many people are telling me, just let it go. It's not going to happen. Just, you're upsetting yourself because it's not happening. So they love you, and in love, they're actually encouraging you to let go of what you feel God has promised you. And we see here, Elkanah loved Hannah. He really loved his wife. So what, he doesn't want her to cry and suffer so much. But the word God gave Hannah, she had to carry that. And there was grace for her to carry that. I've shared a couple of times, in the beginning of 2019, I read a book and it turned my world upside down. Because I realized while reading this book that there is more of Jesus on this side of eternity. And there are people that have tasted more of God here on this earth. And it birthed in me a hunger like crazy for this more. And I wasn't backslidden. I was praying in tongues, believing, ooh, the event is filled. But it went through, it was about 2 years until God fulfilled that promise. And I remember Richard, because he loves me, and he's seeing my frustration, and he's seeing me cry out to God, and he's seeing the disappointment when it doesn't happen. And I remember Richard, because he loves me, would say, my love, just be content. Just let it go, you know. If God wants to, he will bring it, and he will do it. Because he loves me. He doesn't do it because he wants to distract me, but because he loves me. But the problem is, the word was spoken to me. And I knew, because I would try and leave it, a month later that desire would just come back. And it would just keep on burning. So I want to encourage you, there's some of us that you've got a promise, you've got a desire, you've got something you're trusting God for. Whether it's a loved one that needs saving, a sickness that you're trusting God for healing. We're going to pray for a whole lot of stuff. I felt that there's people that have actually been challenged. It's either you have actually gotten to a point where you said, I'm just letting go of God completely. I'm done with this. I'm still coming to church, but in your heart, you've given up on the Lord saying this is not working. So either in a certain circumstance, some of us have actually let go of God. And then there's some of us that have said that promise, it's been 20, 30, 40 years. It's been 10 months. It's been a week. We all stretched. But it's too difficult, Lord. I can't do it. I can't hang on to that promise anymore. And then there's still others of us that I feel God is saying that you've stepped out of the boat and you went with what you felt you were saying to start a business, to get married, to have that child. And now it's not working out the way you thought it would. And you actually, or some of you are thinking of giving up, and some have actually let go of that promise. And I feel God is saying, it's not the time to give up. It's not the time to give up. And there are some of you that have been listening to people around you, and like Elkanah, in love, they say, just let it go. But you and God knows it's not time. And we're going to pray with you this morning and trust the Lord for supernatural grace to carry on with what he's called you to carry on. Does that make sense? And then we're going to jump to verse 9. I'm going to read verse 9. We see here, so the husband asked her, why do you keep on going? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting in the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And we see here, thanks Derek, and we see here that Hannah, you remember, they're now having this conversation at the temple where they've gone to bring their annual offering. And Eli is the priest and he's sitting there and he sees this lady, and it says here in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then we jump to verse 15 and it says, but Hannah answered. Now Eli is looking at her and saying, why are you drunk? Why do you drink and then come into the house of the Lord? You must be drunk. You need to put away the alcohol from you. But Hannah is saying, no, sir. In verse 15 it says there, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. How beautiful is that? I have poured out my soul before the Lord. You see, for some of us, we and I'm guilty. I'm preaching at myself. I'm so quick to run to my husband or to my mom or to my friends. But the key to what Hannah did beautifully is she took all of that and she poured it out before the Lord. It wasn't a very neat and nice and pretty prayer. It was wild. She didn't just pray silently like that. I always thought that until I saw, but Eli said, you're drunk. And then I'm like, oh, that doesn't look like drunk. Yeah. So I'm wondering what did it look like? It must have looked quite spectacular, how Hannah was pouring her soul out to the Lord. And for some of us, I felt God saying, don't run to people first. Yes, there's counsel and wisdom in the counsel of many. Proverbs is full of it. We need to ask other people. But before we go to our friends, to our small group, I encourage you, go to the Lord. Pour out your soul to Him. For me, I'm so challenged so often. I want to speak to Richard. I've got 3 kids. The challenge now is not sleeping. The challenge is getting time to talk to Richard. I don't know if anybody's got kids like that. Goodness, they're just all the time talking. So very often I have to, very often I have to close the door and say, Mama and Papa gaan nou praat, hoor. Stay outside. We're going to try and have a conversation. And I realize so often I bring what I should be bringing first to the Lord. I bring it to Richard first. And not wrong to speak to Richard. Never wrong to speak to your husband or wife. But do you bring it to the Lord? Do you bring your soul to the Lord? Do you close the door and say, God, this is how I'm feeling? He anyway knows it. But do you, in honesty, share with Him, that sock, these people have hurt me again. I thought we had breakthrough this month and it didn't happen. Again, I'm not pregnant. Whatever it is, do we bring our souls to the Lord? And we're going to have some space here this morning, because I believe that for some of you, you actually need to come forward and just bear your soul to the Lord and just connect with Him. Because you see, in verse 25 to 28, and I know it feels like a little bit all over the place this morning, but it's going to come together now. We see now what happens. We know the story. Hannah then gets a son. She has a baby boy. After she made the vow, which I think I've often read it and thought that was in the heat of the moment, promising the Lord that she would give, if He'd give her a son, she would give him back to God. Now we all in theory say our children belong to the Lord, and they do. But I do not know how Hannah did what she did. I honestly don't know. Because in this, what happens is she then falls pregnant. She has a little boy called Samuel. And then she says to her husband, I'm not going to go with you for a couple of years until this boy is weaned, until he's off mom's milk, until he's ready for me to give him to the Lord. So it's a couple of years that have passed. And we see Hannah in a place where she then in verse 25 to 28, it says there, then she slaughtered, they went up, Hannah saying, all right, it's time. It's time to remember that promise of 4, 5, 6 years ago. I don't know how long it was. It was a couple of years. It's time to fulfill that promise. And what encourages me of Hannah, she didn't just follow through. She never negotiated with the Lord again. And she followed through with a worshiping, grateful heart. I think that's more encouraging to me than the anguish and the prayer in the beginning of chapter 1. Just how she got to a place where in verse 25 it says, then they, which is Elkanah and Hannah and Peninnah, slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, Hannah said, oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshipped the Lord there. You see, Hannah wouldn't have been able to get to this place. I can't imagine how a mother would get to a place of letting go of her son had she not gone through the difficult years. Had she not had the blessing of a Peninnah in her house who tormented, who just all the time provoked her severely, all that opposition, all those difficult years was training for what? For what God had called her to do, to bear Samuel. My Bible, the footnote says, he was the greatest judge of Israel. That is who Hannah bore. But you see, the years of opposition, which now you can see is a blessing, because how on earth would she have been able to let go of that boy had she not gone through that difficult time? So very often, God, I felt this week, God's perspective on a difficult time is different than our perspective. Much different. You see, we've been having a difficult couple of weeks, just a whole lot of things happening relationally, some challenges, just all over challenges. And Sunday night in worship, I felt two things. I felt God saying, I want you to speak on 1 Samuel 1. And the second thing I felt is, I felt him saying, it's going to be a good week. I like that. I don't often hear things like that. And I got home, and on Monday I decided, I'm going to tell Richard about what I felt God saying. And I said, I felt God saying, it's going to be a good week. And he looked at me as like, that's a good word. I received that. Yo, on Wednesday, it was not a good week. It went downhill. On Wednesday, I was like, oh, clearly I cannot hear the word of the Lord. I heard completely wrong. And let me tell you, it was difficult all the way down to last night. But during the week, I felt God saying, I was like, Lord, what happened? Ik het verkeerd gehoor. Where did I miss you? What's going on? And then I'm like, I need to preach on Sunday. I couldn't even hear that one thing right, and now I need to bring a message. What's going on here? And I felt God saying, it is a good week. You just don't see the way I see. You just don't see the way I see. So I was like, Lord, help me. Help me see. And he says, the opposition you're facing, the difficult conversations you need to have, the struggles with the health, the struggles with the kids that are struggling, the getting them to sleep through when some of them are struggling with nightmares, others have got other fears, the difficulties, whatever it is, it's all part of preparation of where I want you to go. You cannot get to where I need you to go, and I cannot do through you and Richard what I want to do unless you know how to navigate opposition. Opposition, disappointment. What do you do? How do you handle and posture your heart when somebody comes and accuses you of not doing and leading the church right? How do you handle what comes out of your mouth? And I was like, God, it's difficult. He says, yes, that's exactly. Because I cannot get you to where I need you to be. You see, Hannah couldn't get where she needed to be, to willingly, with a heart of worship. Chapter 2 is a song. Hannah sings to the Lord while giving her child to stay with Eli and seeing him once a year. I would have been, God, let's renegotiate. Let's just talk about this. I mean, I was very emotional when I made that commitment. There's nothing of that. And I felt God saying that opposition can be a blessing if you see it the way I see it. And you see, Hannah, she was just wanting a child because she wanted a child. But God saw the whole of Israel. He saw Israel needed an amazing judge called Samuel. And I felt God saying, not just do you need opposition because you need to navigate. You need to know how to handle disappointment. You need to know how to handle criticism. Not just for where you're going, but because there's a whole generation being impacted by your life. You just don't see it. You see, Hannah was praying for her son, But Samuel was not just their son. He was the greatest judge of Israel. So opposition, I know it's very difficult. And like I said, if there's stuff going on, if there's no open door, no blatant sin, then I want to encourage you, come before the Lord and say, God, give me your perspective on what's going on here. Give me your perspective. Give me a heart that help me to keep my heart pure. Oh, that's the most difficult one. Help me not to get offended and bitter with you or the people around me. Help me to keep my heart soft and pure. And put a guard in front of my mouth, because what comes out is so connected to my heart. But the sailing, the boat that needs to sail through the difficult stormy waters, the rudder is the tongue and the sails is our heart. So for us to get and navigate through our difficult seasons, our seasons of opposition, we need to learn how to navigate our heart and our tongue. You see, I'm going to end with a final scripture. It's in Exodus. And it's such a beautiful story. I think most of you know it. Israelites have now gone out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, but they've just gone out. They have now been in slavery for 400 years. They've been in slavery. So all they know is how to be a slave. Nothing else. They just know how to be a slave. But God has delivered them. They've gone through the Red Sea miraculously. God is showing up. But they don't know yet who they are in him, because they're still very much a slave in their minds. And now what happens is, we see there, verse 17, it says there, Exodus 13, it says, "Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines." So God said, no, we're not going to send them anywhere close to their enemies. Why? Because although that was near, that was a shorter route to the promised land, God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks. You see what's going on here? They were equipped, not because of anything they did, but God had picked them. He was the God, he is the God of the miracle of miracles happened when he got them out of Egypt. The 10 plagues, we all learn it in Kids Church. It is amazing what he did to deliver his people. He was with them. So could they have taken on the Philistines? Yes, they could have. But they didn't know it yet. They didn't know it. In their minds, they were still slaves. So what did God do? He said, no, let's take them around the enemies. Let's take them around, because they don't know yet who they are, and they don't realize yet that they can win. So by implication, if God takes you into the enemy territory, into a difficult season, then he knows that you can handle it. Otherwise, he's a good father. He would lead us around. So whenever we're faced with a difficult situation, God knew we would be able to handle it. If not, he would be gracious and lead us around it. And I think he leads us around a whole lot of difficult things we don't even know about. Why? Because he's a good, good father. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're faced with a difficult thing, and we're gonna pray for a couple of people, and a couple of people are just going to bear their souls before the Lord and just connect with him again. But take courage. If you are in a difficult spot, then God knew you had what it took. You've got what you need. Oh, my Engels is up. You've got what you need to get through. Otherwise, as a good father, he would have taken you around. So I want to encourage you to close your eyes, and then we're going to pray. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Father, that we can know that you are so, so good. That you are so good, Father. We thank you, God, that your perspective on times of opposition, times of challenge, is so much different than ours is. Father, thank you for stories and just for testimonies like that of Hannah, Father, of seeing what you did through her a normal, ordinary woman, God, how you used her difficult season, Father, to train her, to get her ready, Father, not just to deliver another boy, Father, but to deliver the greatest judge of Israel, Lord, to impact nations and generations, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would come and give your perspective on our difficult times and our difficult spots, Father. I feel that there's some of us that you've had a promise. For some of you, I actually felt it's a promise of a husband or a wife, and you've been holding on for so long. And you've actually started letting it go in your heart. You said, it's just too hurtful. I can't do this anymore. And I feel God is saying, no, it's not time. It's not time to let it go. I'm birthing, I'm forming, I'm molding something inside of you that will shape generations to come. For some of you, I felt that you're actually in a marriage, but it's struggling. It's really difficult. And you guys are struggling to get to hear each other. You're struggling. You're just struggling all around, and it feels like it's just the one thing after the next, after the next. And you've actually wanted to give up, and I feel God is saying, no, it's not time to give up. For some of you, it's family relationships, feel relationships in general. I don't know if you... The Holy Spirit will show you, but there's some relationships that you've wanted to let go, that mother-in-law or the sister, that it's just not working. And I feel God is saying, no, it's not time to let go. And then there's some of you also that I felt God is saying that you've actually given up hope. You've gone through the motions and you're still going through the motions, but you're not living with hope anymore. You don't have hope that certain situations is going to turn around, your business is going to turn around. You're starting to doubt whether it was from the Lord. And I feel God is saying, this morning, I'm going to restore your hope. I'm going to restore your hope. And I also felt that there's some of us that are struggling with depression and sickness, and it's been going on for long. And I don't know if it's a physical sickness or a mental sickness, but I feel God is saying that this morning is going to restore that, and he's going to bring breakthrough. So if you can relate to any of that and you feel that you... You've been, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you that there's some areas that you've been giving up. Why don't you just slip up your hand so I know who we're praying for? Thank you. There's a whole lot of you. Amen. Yes, Father, I pray that right now, your Holy Spirit would just come and sweep into this church. That you would come and speak, that you would come and reveal. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and give us your perspective. Help us see how the Father sees. And then there's some of us that have felt that have been, you've actually been running to people. You've not been running to God. Or maybe you haven't been running to people, but you've not been running to God. And like Hannah, you've poured out your soul to Him. And I feel there's an invitation this morning for you to come and just pour out your soul before the Lord. Is there anybody like that that feels that I need to come and just reconnect with God? I haven't been honest with Him. Would you just slip up your hand? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be very brave now. If you slipped up your hand for anything, or if you just feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I want to ask you, invite you to come to the front. For some of you, you need to actually repent for whatever the Lord has put His finger on this morning. For some of you, we have counselors here in front that's going to pray with you and say, we're going to lift up your arms and we're going to pray with you and just infuse, an injection of hope that we trust in God for this morning. For some of you, you really gotten tired, and the invitation is here to come forward and let's lift up our arms with you and say, let me cover you, let me help you. But for some of you, I want to encourage you to let lunch wait a little bit. It's not going to go anywhere. I want to invite you to come and spend time with God here in front and just pour out your soul to Him.